Those Geats were more trouble than they were worth, he said. Is that an ethnic slur for what Laro and Dag are?
Ethnic slur?
Yes, an ethnic slur, he said in a mocking tone.
Geats are great for digging ditches and pulling weeds, worse than useless up here. But you might keep me alive. How are you going to get out of there?
For 3,700 years, we had lived under a ban that prevented us from owning anything other than the bolt, the cord, and the sphere. Shelves of books had been written about the ingenious uses to which these objects had been put by Avout, who had found themselves in trying circumstances. Many of the tricks had names. Sant Ablavan's ratchet, Ramgad's contraption, the lazy Fra. I was no expert, but when we'd been younger, Jessery and I had leafed through some such books and practiced a few of those tricks, just for sport. Cords and bolts were made of the same stuff, a fiber that could coil into a tight helix, becoming short and bulky and springy, or relax into a straight filament, becoming long, lean, and inelastic. In the winter, we told the fibers in our bolts to coil up. They got much shorter, but the bolt became thick and warm because of the pockets of air involved with those coils. In summer, we straightened them, and the bolts became long and sheer. Likewise, the cord could be fat and yarn-like, or long and thready. I made my sphere about as big as my head, wrapped my bolt around it, and tied it together with my cord. Then I made the sphere get bigger and let the bolt expand with it. The sphere wedged itself between the walls. It could go up, but it wouldn't go down, because the crevasse was wider at the top and narrower below. I pushed it up a short distance, and it found a new equilibrium, a little higher. Then I expanded and pushed, a few inches at a time. The walls were surprisingly irregular, so all of this was more complicated than I'm making it sound, but once I got the hang of it, it went fast.
Got it,
Braj called. The sphere moved away from me, scraping against the ice walls. A panic came over me until I found my cord with a flailing arm. Then I let it slide through my hand until Braj had pulled the sphere all the way out of the crevasse. Braj and I were now linked by the cord. He jammed his sticker into the ice up there and wrapped my cord around its handle, or so he claimed. I didn't want to lose our connection to the toboggan and to Laro and Dag, but I had to cut myself free of it to have any hope of bettering things. The end of my cord I joined to the loop of rope around my waist. Then I cut my way free from that loop. So I was free of the hundreds of pounds of stuff anchoring me to the bottom. The cord was now our only link to the toboggan and to Laro and Dag. I gave instructions to Braj on how to make the sphere smaller. He threw it down to me. I wedged it between the crevasse walls again. This time, now that I had freedom to move, I was able to get astride it. For the first time since the accident, I took my weight off of whatever hard thing had stopped my fall and saved my life. Looking down at it, I verified that it was indeed the toboggan, wedged at an angle between the crevasse walls like a stick thrust between a monster's jaws. When I took my weight off of it, it shifted, and a moment later it fell, tumbling another 10 feet before getting wedged again. Braj had anchored his loop of the cord to his sticker, jammed in the ice so we didn't lose it. I was able to extricate myself from the crevasse by expanding the sphere, which pushed me up as it inflated, while keeping the cord looped around one hand in case I fell off. Once I was out, we doubled the anchor by driving in my makeshift ice axe and secured the cord to that as well.